Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 13, is it?
Astame Merudevyam Tu.
Astame Merudevyam Tu.
Astame Merudevyam Tu.
Astame Merudevyam Tu.
Navirjata Urukramaha.
Navirjata Urukramaha.
Yeah. Ishan.
Hari
Bol. I'm just in class, but go ahead.
Darshayan Vartamadhiranam.
Say again.
Namaskritam.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think we should run the numbers
on
you know, on his Jai Krishna's thing. As far as I'd be happy to find you if you're afraid of instead of you, and then he and I can push and see what this is going to cost and how much we have to put down. In other words, it wouldn't hurt to have that information. Just he and I,
Guru
said that's not nice.
So
let's find out.
Urukrama.
We do it his way.
Darshan Varshama.
He's a master. But anyway, we should have all the numbers then. If it doesn't work, we can go the second alternative is, you know, Virari will do his own non-profit. I think your idea is to also put it off to January 1st, and then you have to know
how to do
it. Yeah. Okay.
First
let's see what the numbers are. Maybe we can buy it right away. How long will that take to find out?
The eighth of the incarnation. Merudevyam tu.
And then the backup plan is that January thing, and then
the bike box. Nabi.
And then you have plenty of time to do whatever. If you want to make it out, profit.
Jatava.
You can do that anyways.
The all powerful Lord.
And then we'll have to generate first.
Darshayan.
Okay, no.
By showing.
Vartama.
The way.
Dhyana.
Of the perfect being.
Sarva.
All.
Ashrama.
Orders of life.
Excuse me.
Namaskritam.
Honored
life.
Honored
life. Translation. Purport. The Divine Grace is about Bhaktivedanta Swami Shukrapa.
Yes.
The eighth incarnation was King Vishabha, son of King Nabi, and his wife Merudevi. In this incarnation, the Lord showed the path of perfection, which is followed by those who have fully controlled their senses and who are honored by all orders of life. Responsibly. The eighth incarnation was King Vishabha.
Son
of King Nabi. And his wife Merudevi. In this incarnation.
In this incarnation.
The Lord showed the path of perfection. Which is followed by those. Who have fully controlled their senses.
And who are honored by all orders of life.
Report. Society of human beings is naturally divided into eight by orders and stanzas of life. The four divisions of occupation and four divisions of cultural advancement. The intelligent class, the administrative class, the productive class, the labor class are the four divisions of occupations. The student life, the householder life, retired life, and renounced life are the four statuses of cultural advancement towards the path of spiritualization. Out of these, the renounced order of life, or the order of sannyas, is considered the highest of all. And the sannyas is constitutionally the spiritual master for all the orders and divisions. In the sannyas order, also there are four stages of upliftment toward perfection. These stages are called Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrachakacharya, and Paramahamsa. The Paramahamsa stage of life is the highest stage of perfection. The order of life is respected by all others. Maharaj Rishab, the son of King Nabi, and Mirudev, was an incarnation of the Lord, and he instructed his sons to follow the path of perfection by Tapasya, which sanctifies one's existence and enables one to attain the stage of spiritual happiness, which is eternal and ever-increasing. Every living being is searching after happiness, but no one knows where eternal and unlimited happiness is attainable. Foolish men seek after material sense pleasure as a substitute for real happiness, but such foolish men forget that temporary, so-called happiness derived from sense pleasure is also enjoyed by the dogs and hogs. No animal, bird, or beast is bereft of these sense pleasures. In every species of life, including the human form of life, such happiness is immensely obtainable. The human form of life, however, is not meant for such cheap happiness. The human form of life is meant for attaining eternal and unlimited happiness by spiritual realization. This spiritual realization is obtained by tapasya, or undergoing voluntarily the path of penance and abstinence from material pleasure. Those who have been trained for abstinence in material pleasure are called dhīra, or men undeviated by the senses. Only these dhīras can accept the order of sannyas, and they can gradually rise to the status of paramahansas, which is adorned by all members of society. King Rishabha propagated this mission, and in the last stage he became completely aloof from the material bodily deeds, which is a rare stage, not to be imitated by foolish men, but to be worshipped by all.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So everyone is running after cheap happiness. But Prabhupada is very wisely pointing out that that happiness is available even in every species. And it comes of its own accord. Just like unhappiness comes of its own accord. No one is seeking unhappiness, but in everyone's life, in every family, there's always some incidences of unhappiness. Of suffering, just like this innocent child was suffering in the last few days. Why? Because it's coming according to their destiny. Everyone is allotted so much happiness, so much suffering. So if that unhappiness is coming without any seeking it, why don't you think the happiness will also come without being a so-called seeker of pleasure? It will come. Better than to use your valuable time to research the absolute truth, which requires a little tapasya for purification. What is that tapasya? Not so severe, especially in the Kali Yuga. It's made easy. You don't have to imitate Vishabhdev. His activities were certainly at the highest level. But everyone can mold their life in such a way that they rise early, that they chant this mantra, that they take part in these kind of discussions. Why not? It's available to everybody. But because of habit, we don't take to this life of Shravana Kirtan. Habit. What is our habit? Our habit is to act whimsically for sense gratification. But that has to be given up. So that's the austerity. To change a habit, it requires a little trouble. But one is accustomed to that habit, just like for me, getting up early is no longer a difficulty. Even less than I couldn't sleep, but still I woke up 3:30. And I'm awake, I'm ready, I want to go and chant. So then it's easy to have the rounds finished. So how did I come? I was not good in this regard. When I first came to Krishna consciousness, before I became a devotee, I used to go to this university and drive a taxi on the weekends, and during the summer I drove a taxi. I remember when I first moved in the temple, it was in the summer. So my habit was going to drive the taxi, because you could go anytime you wanted and take the taxi. I'd go around noon, and I'd stay sometimes until 3 in the morning. Because that's when the good fairs were. People would be drunk, and you'd get out of the bars, and they'd give you big tips, and so you'd do stupid. So then I'd go to bed at 4 o'clock and get up. Sometimes I wouldn't go to work until late afternoon, 2 or 3 o'clock. I'd get up at noon, like that. So when I moved into the temple, then I had to get up at the same time I used to be going to bed. So it was difficult. And for so many years it was difficult. It didn't immediately change my habit. I had to struggle, tendency to fall asleep again, and so on. But gradually, over the course of years, maybe after 15 or 20 years, and then it becomes natural. I mean, not that long necessarily. But it does become natural to rise early. But it's a question of habit. Now, because I'm in that habit, if I was told I had to sleep until 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, it would be difficult. I couldn't do it. So, habits to change. We have to change some habits. I was reading this morning in the news. They're talking, there's some, you know, what's in the news, something about men being lusty. So I thought, let me see what they say. And it said, yes, men are so lusty. They think about sex life, you know, 100 times a day, to get with the feeling or something. 70% of their waking hours, they're thinking about sex life. So, this is our habit, because they're explaining scientifically the testosterone is there, and so on and so on. So that's also a habit that we have to change. Or if we can't fully change, then we should become responsible, be hostage. But it's a struggle, because the tendency, the nature, our material nature is, you can say, programmed like that for the propagation of the species. The program is there in our body. But when we come to spiritual life, we understand we're not this body, we start acting on that platform of the soul, then we get a higher taste. So it's easy to overcome that natural tendency for lusty affairs. Because we're in a fallen condition. Therefore, we need to be redeemed from that condition. So when those who are not redeemed, they take the position of the teacher. They're simply cheating. All these professors of university, they're cheating. Because they're presenting themselves. Unless they're very honest and say, this is my field, I don't even know this. But as soon as they take the position that they're teaching about how to live and so on, what's the best way, they're blind leading the blind. And the students, we see that practically, why is it so difficult for the students to surrender? Because they're attached to their own plan. And as soon as we start to interfere with that a little bit, to change their habit, their thinking, their way of thinking, then it becomes like pulling teeth, very difficult. So, there is no easy way. Rishabhdev is being mentioned here because in the fifth canto he explains to his sons, headed by Bharat, how the uniform of life is simply meant for tapasya. And that is not a very, you can say, welcome message for the mass of people. And it certainly wasn't for me either. When I came to Kuru, I had already turned against God, against religion, just on this point. Then I thought, you know, why should I unnecessarily suffer? Like Lord Jesus, I saw him suffering on the cross. And I felt that the Christians wanted me to suffer like that. And so why should I be a Christian? I want to enjoy. But when I met Prabhupada, then I could see that he was enjoying a far higher level than I was. But he had voluntarily undergone austerity. And that then it becomes joyfully performed. It's like rising early for me. It's joyful. It's the best time of the day. I can sit and chant nicely without distraction, without thinking, oh, so-and-so is coming, you have to do this, you have to do that. Then you can hear your rounds, and that's the nectar is there. So I saw that Prabhupada was living his whole life like that. It was nectar at every step. Like, I'm not at that level, but I certainly have been enjoying my existence more than I was before. Because before, there was always the happiness and distress. I might enjoy one night or something, but the next morning you'd be sick from the hangover, drinking, or taking drug intoxication, or staying up too late. And then you'd be in anxiety, you haven't done your prescribed duties, schoolwork, or whatever. So there may have been some moments of pleasure, but it was always accompanied with distress. So what is the use of that kind of existence? But if we can be steady on the spiritual platform, then even when there's cause of disturbance, we won't be in anxiety. We can tolerate it, knowing that it's just going to pass. So for a child, it's difficult to tolerate. But as devotees, as we advance, then we, with our intelligence, we can see, okay, now I'm suffering, but it's going to be gone. And I can philosophically understand that my accumulated suffering is being reduced. Due to my past sinful activities, everyone has a store of suffering due to that. But as we accept suffering in a proper mood, then that will be reduced. We won't be further added to the suffering. And we can go on with our service. Even when we're sick, we can serve. There's no condition that can check our service. So if we continue with that mood, then all our suffering, happiness will be gradually finished, and we can just come to the platform of enjoying nectar at every moment on the spiritual platform, in the relationship with the Lord, serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Even when we're resting, we're serving the Lord. So that's the goal. And it's very ecstatic. So why not take it up? Okay,
interesting. And before becoming a devotee, like any person, he has his own
way of thinking.
No, like I was referring to the, like a quota of good karma and bad karma.
Uh-huh.
And based on that, like if he doesn't become a devotee, then he enjoys and suffers. But once someone becomes a devotee, like we have seen even devotees, they have to suffer.
Yeah.
So what happens to their good karma? Because we no longer
try to... They may live in a very nice temple atmosphere, and they have good health, and good climate, and so then in that sense, that's also being extinguished.
So a devotee's goal is to finish the...
The devotee's goal is to serve Krishna, whatever condition. Whatever is favorable for devotional service, he can accept. So that he should decide in consultation with Guru Sadhu Shastra. What's actually favorable for my devotional service? Let me go there. Let me do that. Let me keep myself there. Then, everything else will follow. And as far as the suffering comes, I remember I was there when a devotee said he had been sick, Bhadraj. And Prabhupada didn't see him for a few days, and then he came. Prabhupada was on the morning walk, and he came out there. But he said, "Oh, Bhadraj, where have you been? I'm a little sick, Prabhupada. Due to my bad karma," he said. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, actually, that's a fact. But go on tolerating, and all your karma will be finished." So, we do suffer, even because we're devotees, doesn't mean that we don't get sick or something, but we accept it in a proper way, then it'll be impetus for us to finish up our business. Just like, in one sense, this child is too trusting. Whoever a strange person comes, they go. Now she's not so trusting, because she saw strange people hurt her. Well, I'm not saying that, because she's too young to learn, probably. But that's the idea. If we take it, the suffering, in a proper way, we can grow from it. It's like I would suffer, right, because I have too much mucus. But the lesson is that it's so hard to learn, but the lesson is, for me, personally, I have to be very careful what I eat, otherwise
I never struggle. I just rather eat whatever I feel like eating, whatever I feel like eating. That's the tendency. Everybody has. But I see that that's, it causes suffering. So at least to some lesson I can, you know, remain healthier if I can follow that. So I can serve Krishna better. What else? Philosophy is perfect, it's very simple. It's hard to practice it because of habit, that's all. We're used to, just like this girl, Lisa. Her habit is to sleep until 7, 8 o'clock, and then has coffee to wake her up. And then, you know, then she's going, her mind is going, so it's hard for her to sit slowly and chant for an hour or two, is what's recommended in the morning. You should sit and chant for an hour or two. So, then how do you change your habit? We also have bad habits. So first we could, of course, we should concentrate on our improving ourselves. But then when an opportunity is there, we have to encourage others to take austerity. They don't like it. Nobody likes it. It's bitter medicine. If you try to explain to this child, oh, he's taking your blood so that he can cure you, and the child can accept it. They just experience the immediate. It's called prayas. Prayas and shreyas. There's immediate gratification and long-term well-being. So we're like animals. It's very difficult to train them. You have to threaten them. You have to starve them. Otherwise, they're just going to act according to their nature. But they can be trained. So if animal can be trained, why a human being can't be trained? So this is the proper training. How to become a devotee. How to accept everything favorable for devotional service. Morning is a good time for devotional service. Then you should mold yourself, life in such a way that you're good morning, you're wide awake, ready to go, without some artificial stimulus, which you're going to be dependent on, and then it's taken away, then you're in anxiety, and you can't function properly. Without it,
I want to ask about this four level of sannyasa.
Four different levels. Yeah. So the first is Baba Jagacharya, we know, is one who is traveling and preaching. We say Om. Vishnupada, Paramahansa, Parajakacharya. So he's traveling, preaching, but he's probably at the Paramahansa stage, but he comes down for traveling, for benefiting the others. Otherwise, like Gaur Kishore's Babaji, he wasn't. When he was told by Bhaktivinoda Thakur he should go to Calcutta to get some surgery for his eyes or something, you know, because he was going blind. He said, I will never go to the material world, Calcutta. He just stayed there and did his bhajan. He wasn't not Paramahansa. He was Paramahansa. But some Paramahansas come down to Paramahansa. So the others, I think there's, what is that? Maungak and Kutichak. I know two devotees with those names.
I read it once.
Something about going village to village and then coming home at night. In the first stage, I think the first one, then he takes sannyas, but he's allowed to return to his village to to get food or something, or to give you there. But we, you know, for us, this Paramajakacharya is supposed to be or not moved up. Like today, I'm going to London. But then there's also Kshetra Sannyas, who Gadara took a vow that he would never leave Pushupam Kshetra. But he broke that vow. Said, let my vow go to hell. I want to be with you. Anyway, this. Anything else? Okay, sure, I'll go down to you.